one. It is scary. Well, that's probably a... That mirrors our idea of discipleship, right? If I say to you, you're an evangelist, and that's frightening, we may want to look back at the last 50 to 80 years and ask ourselves the question, what have we been discipled into? Right? So, not trying to ruffle any feathers, but I guess it's happening. Here we go. You know, because being an evangelist, well, let's just do it this way. Raise your hand, not yet, raise your hand if you asked Jesus to come into your heart on a Sunday morning or by someone who's a pastor. Just raise your hand. Okay, we've got, well, all right. So raise your hand if someone led you to Christ outside of the building, not by a pastor or someone. Just throw your hand up if you became a Christian. All right, so 50-50, that's pretty good. Or maybe 60-40. If you want to come back with 70-30. No, I'm just kidding. So I've just been thinking about this. When I talk about that we're all evangelists, when we all have Jesus inside of us, right? Like if you are a believer, if you actually have Jesus living inside of you, you have a relationship with him, you can't help but be an evangelist. Does that define things a little bit more? Like help you out a little bit more? Like I just think about how if I'm excited about something, I want to share it. That's being an evangelist. So there's been times that I've been an evangelist about video games. There's been times I was an evangelist about bread because I was working in a bakery and I was passionate about the bread that I sold, right? Or, you know, you name the things that you're passionate about. Those are the things that you're evangelizing. Right? Because you're sharing them, you're sharing this good news that you found with someone else who you feel like should hear this good news. So, some of us make the assumption that here in this room or some other church building or the pastor is the only way for folks to meet Jesus, and that is not the case. However, many, many people have become followers of Christ without ever praying the sinner's prayer. Whew. Okay. So, including the thief on the cross. So, that's in Luke 23:39-43. We're just going to read it real quick. It says, one of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saying, saving yourself and us too, while you're at it. But the other criminal protested, don't you fear God? Even when you have been sentenced to die, we deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't one time say, dear Jesus, please forgive me for my sin. Like, he didn't do any of that. But what he did have was an honest and authentic heart towards Jesus. Okay? So, I remember having a conversation a long time ago with a work colleague. And they were not having it. They didn't want to hear about Jesus. They didn't want to hear about any of that. And after, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours of working together and you know, we're walking to our cars and the person said, you know, I actually have asked, I did pray the sinner's prayer one time. I was like, in my head, I'm like, it didn't stick. Because you just argued with me for 3.5 hours about how God doesn't exist, right? But then now you're telling, so I'm like, it's got to be more than a sign on the dotted line, I've made a decision from here on out, I am a card-carrying member of the Christian people, right? It's not that. It's our contrite heart towards God. We actually have to engage in relationship. And that thief on the cross, what a beautiful picture, right? Because there's a guy who is a total stinker, and he's just like, I don't care that I'm going to die. I'm so bitter and angry. Yeah, save yourself. Prove it to us. Because he never proved it to me in my life. You know, that's kind of the feeling you get. Like, I didn't have a Savior before. Why should I have one now? And this other guy's like, how are you talking like this? You've got to see who this guy is. He's never done anything wrong. And he's like, would you please just remember me? Like, and Jesus, in only the way that Jesus can, accepts him completely with open arms and gives him everything. He wasn't even asking for that. He was just asking for, could you just even just remember me? Don't, you know, I want a relationship, or maybe I just I wanted you to notice me. And it's amazing. That's, you know, what a beautiful picture at the very pinnacle of Jesus dying on the cross as a perfect person being completely tortured and condemned for our, like, taking our punishment. What a beautiful picture at that very, very pinnacle of that time to go, you know, for him to hear someone say, I just wish I could be a part of what you're doing. And Jesus goes, you will be today. Promise. Like that seems a little bit rushed, even though, like, wow, what a thing, right? What a feat. But if we look at Ephesians and we look at the whole Bible, honestly, you see that it's always been God's desire since before the beginning of the world for him to have relationship with us. So why wouldn't he want to have relationship with us when someone actually steps out and says, I want a relationship with you? Are we catching that? So what did Jesus tell us about the world being ready for the gospel, right? Because sometimes it's like, well, when should I share? When am I supposed to share about Jesus? Like, is it appropriate here? Is it appropriate at work? Is it appropriate at when we're having dinner or I'm seeing my neighbor as I mow my lawn? When is it appropriate? I've heard it said, if you're not sure when you're led to show, you know, if you haven't felt led to share the gospel with someone, make sure to put a fishing weight in your pocket so that you can always feel led. Because everyone at every time, like if God made them, they need to hear the gospel. And let me just say something. If you're thinking the gospel is, sir, do you know where you're going when you die? That may not be the thing that they need to hear. Maybe we need to ask Jesus, like, okay, I know I'm supposed to share with everyone, and there's a person in front of me to share with. So how do I share? What do you want me to do? What does that look like? There was somebody the other day who saw some kids who were cold outside of Smith's selling like these little flower packets, you know, for their lacrosse team. And the person was like, well, they're cold. I'll go get them some hot cocoa. Easy peasy, you know, grabbed them some hot cocoa from Starbucks and, hey, our church is right there. Wow, that's cool. Did you know that leading someone to Christ does not mean leading someone to this building, right? It's not the same thing. The church is a force to be reckoned with, not a field that we go to for our supplies. Does that make sense? It's not somewhere where we go, hey, I see you need food. You should go to my church because they have food. That's not the way it works. I see you need food. I'm a Christian. I am the church. How do I get you food? I see you need help. I see you need love. I see you need your fence painted. I see that you're sad. How can I be a Christian to this person right now and be a blessing to them right now so that they can see that I'm salt and light in this world, not just a bump in a pew, right? We don't want that. We want to be active, loving Christians. Is this all because I'm not wearing the head thing? Okay. Anyways, I was going to wear the Darth Vader mask, but then I didn't, and now it's feeding back. My fault. Okay, so when is it appropriate? When it is appropriate to share the gospel? So John 4:34-38 says, then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You know the saying, one plants and another harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others have already done the work, and now you will get to gather the harvest. Now you will get to gather the harvest. Sorry. So just let's think about it this way. Let's imagine a farmer inviting the harvest into his barn. Right? Like, so this farmer, it's time. The field's ready. Farmer pushes the door open. Come on in, harvest. We're ready for you. Nothing. Right? He's like, turns around, looks at his barn. He's like, well, I guess it is a little dirty. Slaps some new paint on it, you know. Come on. We're ready now. Nobody. you know what we might need? We might need like some lights and a smoke machine, maybe a coffee shop, maybe a good sound system, all that stuff. Okay, we're ready for you, Harvest. Come on in. Here we go. We're ready now. Hello? Then you look back and all the workers are drinking the coffee and moving on, you know, playing with lights and all that stuff. And the harvest is still waiting to be harvested. And this is not how evangelism is done, right? We're all the workers. We go to the field, which is this world, right? So this looks different for everybody. There are folks in our church who go to the exact same checker every time they go to the store. What an easy way to share love, right? We were talking yesterday with some friends about the third space. You know, you got work, you've got home, and then a lot of time it's like what you're passionate about or just what you do in your spare time. And for these folks, it was, you know, they love to teach martial arts. And so, you know, like the whole dojo that they work at is hearing the love of Christ. It's that easy. It may not always be, hey, there's a person, they're living and breathing, I should run after them right now. That could be lawless. That could be crazy. But there have definitely been times where I felt like I was supposed to do that, and it went pretty darn good. And the person did hear the gospel. So don't discount any way, right? We're supposed to be all things to all men so that some might be saved. So we don't want to just be like, well, Living Waters does it this way, the way of the master. And they share kind of like, if you were to die today, where would you go? Da, 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 da. And then there's other guys who are like, Jesus just loves you. Can I pray for your ankle? Boom, the person gets healed. Here's $1,000. Let me pray for you again. God loves you so much. Let me share, you know, just how much God loves you. And that person's just like, you know, like there's so many different ways. Or there could be just like a hi every time you come out of your house instead of like, oh my gosh, there's my neighbor, you know, like it could be that simple, right? There's no real formula. It's just that we're supposed to love our neighbor. So what does that look like for us? What does that look like for you as an individual? Not for a pastor or someone you've heard on the internet, but just for yourself. What does that look like for you? So Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's Matthew 28:18. So in that, the first thing we're told from Jesus is to go. Not invite others to come here, or maybe to Israel, or something like that. He said to go and make disciples, right? So now we know it's our job to share what Jesus has done for us as individuals, but who do we tell, right? And then it really does come down to that, like, it can be crippling. I mean, I remember my wife and I, when we first started just saying, like, okay, we're supposed to do this, so let's just, like, get crazy and just walk around at the mall and tell people about Jesus, right? And, like, an hour and a half after the mall, like, you go, 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 I don't want to go, you go, I don't, you know, and then, like, we get home, and we're like, well, that's was a bummer, you know, we never did anything, like, and then you go out again, you're like, and then we, you know, bring our daughter, you could pray for that man with the cane, we're like, why don't you shut your mouth, girl, we'll do it on our own time, you know, but in a lot of ways, what we found is that, you know, it's just being available, so, yeah, maybe it's time to get kick-started, which means, you know, getting pushed out of the nest into sharing the love of Jesus with someone. I know somebody right now who they've talked about their friend that they love and that they care about and that they want to share the gospel with, and they've been trying to figure it out for over 20 years, trying to figure out how to start that conversation. As they hang out and as they have fun and all these things, it's still like this block. So what I've found is a lot of the time, if you can't share with your friends and family, go punch fear in the face, talk to someone at Target, and then once you're like, wow, that wasn't so bad, you're like, and I actually know this person, so things could go pretty good now. Like, this person's well-adjusted. If I just go share the gospel with them, probably nothing scary is going to happen. And if they do reject me as a friend, I can count it as a blessing because that's something that Jesus says. I mean, he's okay with that. So it's all right. And guess what? It's not like if they reject you once they get out of my face, that means you're done with that relationship. Jesus didn't do that to Judas, did he? Did he do that to other people that didn't want to hear his message? He was like, just get away from me. He never said that. He was completely, like, continuously, if you supposedly are a believer and you know my love and are bitter and grumpy, maybe you just need more. Maybe you just need more of that. So, you know, so what I want to do, I know I'm unconventional, but here's the real question. Let's not overthink it, you know. So, like, do you know someone who doesn't know Jesus? Like, does anybody in here, maybe you know a lot of people that don't know Jesus, and that would be my hope. If you only know Christians, red flag. Red flag, everybody. Let's not do that. Let's know non-believers, because we're supposed to be in the world and not of it, but that doesn't mean that we don't want any of the world's people, right? We want the people that are in this world to hear about Jesus. And, you know, I was thinking this morning how I really blew it, because one day I was driving out of my neighborhood, and these people weren't going at the stop sign, so I kind of peeled out and drove down the street all grumpy, and then I realized they were my new neighbors. And so sometimes I wonder if they're ever going to be open to the gospel. But, you know, so I will just say, be careful how you act everywhere, because you never know when you accidentally just were peeling out next to your neighbor. But, you know, so what I want to do this morning, you know, do you know someone who doesn't act like they know Jesus? Maybe they say they're a Christian, but maybe they don't act like they know Jesus. Maybe it's because they actually need to hear about God's love even more. Like, maybe they just haven't really, like, they've got it here, but they don't have it here, right? Like, and so maybe that's you. Maybe you're the catalyst to show that love to them in whatever way that God's given, put on your heart. So can we just pray for a second? Is that all right? Or even a moment, which is what it says on my notes, which is longer than a second, I think. But Father God, we just ask right now, God, that would you please show us right now who we're supposed to share you with. Just show us like a picture, or give us a name, or help us to think of somebody, Lord. Who do you want us to share your gospel with, just even this week or today? So go ahead and just like listen for a second. See if God just puts somebody on your heart. If you think of somebody, you don't have to, but just so I know I don't go too fast, if you just throw your hand up, if you're thinking of somebody that knows, that you know needs the gospel, and God's kind of just put them in your heart. I'm not going to make you sign anything. Okay. Good stuff. Awesome. So you can put your hands down. So right now, just where you're at, for that person or those people that you have in your heart and in your mind, let's just go ahead. You as an individual, go ahead and just pray for that person where you are. Just whatever God puts on your heart. So now, as a little exercise, if you don't want to do this, you don't have to, but I'll totally be judging you. So we're just going to find two other people, so groups of three, right? And we're going to, if it's inappropriate to share who you want to pray for, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Just say, pray for my person. But I would love it if we could get in groups of two or three, listen to each other and say, you know, I got my neighbor. That's who God kind of put into me. Or whatever it is that, whoever it is that God put on your heart. And just pray for each other, that God would give you strength and that God would speak to that person even today. Is that all right? And then, so like in this time, like we're not going to do life advice or tell each other how to do stuff. We're not going to be sarcastic. We're just going to respect and honor each other and pray for each other. Is that fair? So like, don't, no teasing and stuff like that. Just get into a group, respect and honor each other, and just ask, who did you get? Okay, I got this person. All right, let's pray for that person right now. So, okay, let's go ahead and do that. So you can go ahead and stand up, find two other people, go ahead and pray for each other, and then when you come back, we'll... we'll have a little more instruction.